If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
I picture this when you're a fisherman setting catfish lines on a Sunday morning in November. The little PD River. I think of Pee Wee Herman when I hear that. The little PD River, not Pee Wee River. It's calm, maybe a little too calm. You spot something wrapped in a blue tarp. Weighted down with cinder blocks. That's how Gregory Rice's daughter found out her dad was dead on her birthday. Because when Megan Jackson describes to plan a murder, she apparently doesn't check the calendar for awkward timing. Or did she? Did she? There are certain personalities that plan certain days to do certain things to ruin others' lives. This whole mess started where most workplace disasters begin, with two people who should have kept it professional. Christopher Dontell was a deputy coroner in Horry County, South Carolina. Megan Jackson drove dead bodies around for a living. Match made in heaven, right? Wrong. Match made in whatever circle of hell is reserved for people who use their jobs in the death industry to cover up actual murders. Here's the thing about affairs between coworkers in the funeral business. When normal people have workplace drama, maybe someone gets a passive-aggressive email or their lunch stolen from the break room fridge. When coroners and body transporters have drama, apparently bodies themselves end up in rivers, allegedly. Though Dontell already copped to it, so I can drop the allegedly for him. Jackson and Dontell met through work sometime around 2018. She was hauling corpses for various funeral homes, like you do. He was doing deputy coroner things. And somewhere between the morgue and the cemetery, they decided professional boundaries were more like professional suggestions. By early 2020, they were meeting up at Brick's Woodfire Pizza, because nothing says romance more than discussing your day over breadsticks after handling dead people. Now, Jackson wasn't exactly living her best life before Dontell entered the picture. She'd been with Gregory Rice for 16 years, had four kids with him. And by all accounts, their relationship was about as healthy as gas station sushi. They split in November of 2019, right when Jackson's mom died, which threw a wrench in her plans to buy a house. So she essentially was homeless with her four kids, grieving her mother. And what does she do? Well, she moves into Dontell's neighborhood and starts sleeping with him while becoming besties with his wife, Erica, because that's not a powder keg waiting to explode or anything. The kids all played together. The families had dinners. Meanwhile, Jackson and Dontell are sneaking around like teenagers, except these teenagers have access to funeral homes and professional knowledge about making bodies disappear. What could possibly go wrong? Everything. Everything could go wrong and did. Starting when Jackson got pregnant with Dontell's baby. She miscarried, but the damage to everyone's lives was already in motion. By September of 2020, those two criminal masterminds were texting about their murder plans like they were discussing grocery lists. Jackson literally texted Dontell about cutting Rice's brake lines or popping his tires. And Dontell, beacon of wisdom that he was, texted back that he was on board. They put it in writing. In text messages that investigators would later find. But wait, it gets dumber. Jackson starts sending anonymous texts to Dontell's wife about the affair from her own iPhone. And investigators trace back to her. Pressure's building. October rolls around, and instead of maybe cooling things off or getting therapy or literally any other option, they decide murder is the solution. So October 2nd, 2020, after a normal day of coroner work, because why let impending homicide interfere with your job, Dontell takes Jackson to go target shooting with her 22 caliber handgun. Subtle. They hit up Abuelo's for dinner, probably discussing their feelings over fajitas before heading to Myrtle Beach Funeral Home. Jackson calls Rice from a back room because nothing suspicious about calling your ex from your workplace that handles dead bodies when you're planning to make him dead. Around 10 p.m., they roll up to Rice's apartment complex and Jackson's work van, the Honda Odyssey she used for transporting corpses, was about to add one more to its passenger list. According to Dontell, who sang like a canary to save his own skin, Jackson spots Rice walking and tells him to make a U-turn. Then she allegedly opens the door and shoots Rice multiple times. Just opens the door of the moving vehicle. Starts blasting like it's the Wild West, except it's a suburban apartment complex, and she's a mom of four with a body transport side hustle. The forensic pathologist would later describe finding between 5 and 7 gunshot wounds. To the temple. One to the chest, couple to the hip, and one to the thigh. Any of the first two would have done the job, but Jackson apparently believed in thorough work. Rice's brain was, and I quote, liquefied by the time they found him over a month later. That's what happens when you leave someone in brackish water like you pretended to be a concerned ex-girlfriend filing a missing persons report like she did. Here's where it gets properly disturbing. Dontell testified that Jackson showed complete nonchalance about the whole thing, like she just knocked over a mailbox instead of murdering the father of her children. She's screaming at him to help load Rice's body into the van and then drive it to where else? Myrtle Beach Funeral Home. Stick him in the cooler like he's supposed to be there. Just another day at the office, except one of the bodies isn't supposed to be a body yet. The next morning, Jackson threatens to kill Dontell, too, if he doesn't help dispose of Rice permanently. Dontell, having just watched his woman ice her kid's dad without batting an eye, believes her. So off to Lowe's he goes, where surveillance cameras catch him buying what prosecutors would later call a murder dump kit. Blue tarp, ratchet straps, cinder blocks, zip ties. Might as well have asked the clerk which aisle had the body disposal supplies. That evening, Dontell wraps Rice up like the world's worst Christmas present, weighs him down with cinder blocks, and dumps him in the Little PD River. 3 days later, Jackson files a missing person report, playing the concerned ex-girlfriend while knowing exactly where Rice is feeding the catfish. She even stages his keys and wallet at the apartment for his family to find. Oscar-winning performance, if the Oscars had a category for world's worst mother. Fast forward to November 8th, when those fishermen make their grim discovery on what happened to be Savannah Rice's birthday. Within days, both Jackson and Dontell are arrested. They get out on bond initially because apparently murdering someone doesn't automatically disqualify you from walking around free in South Carolina. But they can't help themselves. Dontell contacts Jackson despite a no-contact order. Jackson violates home confinement multiple times. By September of 2021, they're both back behind bars where they belong. The legal proceedings dragged on for years because, of course, they did. COVID delays, attorney conflicts, judges recusing themselves. Jackson's lawyer even tried to claim legislature immunity in 25. And finally, on December 4th of 2024, right before his trial was supposed to start, Dontell takes a plea deal. Conspiracy and accessory charges up to 20 years in exchange for testifying against his former lover. Jackson's trial in June of 25 has been a parade of devastation. 20 witnesses, including her own daughter, Savannah, testifying against her. Dontell took the stand, cried like the pathetic man he is, and apologized to Savannah in open court. Too little, too late, buddy. Digital forensics presented all those brilliant text messages about brake lines and murder plans, GPS data showing everyone's locations, the surveillance footage from Lowe's. It's like they wanted to get caught, but were too stupid to just turn themselves in. But here's the real kicker. During the investigation, they discovered Jackson had been locking her three youngest kids in their rooms with electronic locks, batteries removed, padlocked windows, kids forced to pee in containers because mommy was too busy planning murders to let them use the bathroom. Child Services took custody, adding child neglect to her growing resume of awful life choices. The prosecution painted Jackson as a master manipulator who used both men. She got a deputy coroner to risk his career, freedom, and family to help her commit murder. And she did it all while sending evidence from her own phone, buying murder supplies on camera. As I record this, Dontell's still rotting in J. Reuben Long Detention Center, waiting to be sentenced after Jackson's trial wraps up. Jackson's facing life in prison if convicted, plus extra time for conspiracy and child neglect. Those four kids lost their father and their mothers to violence, and their mother to her own evil choices. They're the only victims here worth caring about. This case is what happens when people think their professional knowledge makes them smarter than everyone else, or personality disorders go unchecked. These two thought working around death gave them some special insight into creating it. Turns out, knowing how to transport bodies doesn't make you a criminal mastermind. It just makes you a criminal with a very specific skill set that investigators will immediately connect to you. 5 years after Gregory Rice died on that Myrtle Beach street, justice is finally catching up to his killers. Dontell will spend up to 2 decades thinking about how he threw away his career and family for a woman who threatened to kill him too. Jackson will hopefully spend the rest of her life remembering that she murdered her children's father over custody disputes and ego. The Horry County Coroner's Office fired Dontell the day before he was arrested. And one hopes they've updated their hiring practices and contractor oversight. The local funeral homes probably have some explaining to do about how their facilities became temporary storage for a murder victim. And somewhere in South Carolina, four kids are growing up without either parent because their mother decided murder was easier than divorce court. Remember Gregory Vincent Rice? Not as the decomposed body found in the Little PD River, but as a father who loved his kids despite a toxic relationship. The man who went for a walk on an October evening and never came home. The victim of two people who thought their jobs made them unstoppable, right up until the moment the handcuffs clicked shut. It's a dark case. Tell me what your thoughts are in the comments section. I would love to hear them. This feels very much like an open and shut case, as well as an open and shut case can be. It's another case of very unhealthy brains. People putting their own desires above others, their own ego, paramount to life, to their own children, to their well-being, to anything else. Take out those around you who are seemingly inconvenient. That's how some people work. It appears how this worked here. Again, tell me your thoughts in the comments section. Press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts. Check out our YouTube channel, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Just search for it anywhere you get podcasts and join us there to join in that conversation as well. My name is Tony Bruschi. Thank you for joining us, and we will talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.